Let's find Genesis chapter 5 in the Bibles. That's fairly easy, it's the first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 5. But before we do anything, let's ask for God's help. Father, make us aware of your presence here, may we feel you deep within. We ask for your help and strength today. It's warm, we're tired, we've had a busy week. So we ask for your refreshing and reviving Holy Spirit now to invigorate our hearts and minds and our intellects, revive our souls, draw us into your presence, take the scales away from our eyes and hearts, open our hearts, dear Lord, and do heart surgery on us today. May we know it. May we leave this place with a different heart. Help us now, Father. We need your grace. We need your strength. We can't do a thing without you. We can't even do religion without you. We can't do church without you. And we certainly cannot do Christianity without you. Help us. You are the God of grace. We are the needy saints. We wait in expectation of your visitation. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Let me turn you please to Genesis chapter 5. And this is our third bite. But Enoch, I hope Enoch doesn't be a one bit three times, but this is the third one we've had of Enoch. So far we've looked at Enoch's generation, the people we lived in. And we noted, didn't we? We noted that Noah was some 7,000 years ago, and in fact the human heart hasn't changed one bit. And that people are just the same today. The human heart wants to do what it wants to do without any interference from God. Thank you very much. And then last time, we looked at Enoch himself, the man. We noted that he walked in close fellowship with God. And we looked at what that means in reality. What it means to walk in close fellowship with God. To walk in companionship and friendship intimately, personally and meaningfully with Father God. And we noted that you can't do that unless you're in the kingdom of God, you're a member of the kingdom of God, and then it comes about when you put your heart and faith and soul completely in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are born again of His Holy Spirit, then you have your sin. Today we're finally going to look at what happened to Enoch, as recorded here in this historical account that God has made sure we have in front of us in Genesis chapter 5. Let's just read verses 21 to 24. It's not much, is it? Just these three verses, but it tells us so much. And you looked at other references in the New Testament, didn't we, about what Enoch was about. But let's just remind ourselves again, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. How many of you know Enoch? I mean, I don't know if he lived 300 years, perhaps, or without some pain, but things were a little healthier then. So he wouldn't have felt it so much. But to walk in close fellowship with God for that long time. Anyway. Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So he's got a family. He's got responsibilities. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared. Well, it's in some versions, he was not. We wouldn't say it. I didn't see you because you was not. So he disappeared. Okay? So the modern equivalent is then one day he disappeared. because you've got to be. Got to be. Now one day you and I are going to be rotten up. One day you and I are going to leave planet Earth and enter the reality of eternity, and it is going to go on forever. And this life we cling on to and put so much effort into is going to seem such a little speck of sand on the beach. We're going to wonder, those who should put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we get to heaven, we're going to wonder why we wasted so much time and expended so much energy and expense on that little speck of sand on the beach of eternity. Because the best is yet to come. This is nothing. I know we live in time and reality, and what you see is all we know and experience. But believe you me, this is a speck of sand on the beach of eternity. Even if you live to be 365 like Enoch, which I doubt is going to happen, that's nothing. Eternity goes on and eternity. And the question is, where do you spend that? Where do you spend that? Okay, so we're looking at Enoch, the man who walked with God. We read just then that astounding statement, didn't we? One day he just disappeared because God took him. I don't know what he's saying anyway, do I? Where's that? He's late again for dinner. He hasn't washed the car again. He has no, this is then. The house I'm sure that we're doing up again. I'll tell him what it was, he wasn't this way. I don't know anything about it, so we're not told anything about it, so. But it's our family. Now surely a man who walked that close to God must have had some influence on his family. He must have showed them and shared with them what it is to know the true and living God. So I must assume that God somehow revealed to them that he, I've got it. That's a panic. Because he wouldn't leave his children in the dark like that. I appreciate that's pure speculation on my part, but knowing the God of the Bible as I do, I must make that assumption. And how many funerals have you been to? I did a baptism a few weeks ago. What a blessed change that one. So what are the funerals I've been to for that kind of sake? Most of them have been born again believers, and we had the joy and the consolation of knowing that, okay, it's a bit of a wrench, but they are actually with the Lord in a realm that we can't see or feel or touch. It's a dimension that's beyond our comprehension. They are there with Jesus in a state that appears in paradise. And that is a great consolation. Sadly, on two or three occasions, I undertook funerals of those who, as far as I'm aware, were not believers and didn't believe in Jesus Christ. And when you look at the family, the relations, and all those around, it is terrible. It is terrible. And I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to tell them. And at the risk of sounding really callous and unkind, I was listening to, watching the TV about the Manchester bombings. The number of people who had this kind of vague notion, and you see it on the notes and the condolences, you're with the angels now looking down. Yeah. It's rather a vague football crossing the shores hope, isn't it? And for people who claim to be atheists and accept the fairy story of evolution and written God out the scripts, isn't it funny when it comes to an occasion like that, we start up to think that somehow there's a heaven and somehow there's a kind of God and somehow everything's going to be right on the night. Somehow. Science fiction like evolution can't erase that from the human conscience. But they can only put it wrong when there's something there somewhere. Very telling, isn't it? So I don't mean to be callous because I'm not talking to those people. But if I'm not perhaps too honest to leave, then we're going to believe that you died in that trust. I don't know. What a consolation to know if they were genuine Christians, you would go and say, yes, it's a bit of a reach, but I'm going to see them again soon. Malcolm told us in the precious one, his dad died this morning. And I said, well, are you going to see him soon? He said, oh, just here, I am talking in the context of eternity, not anywhere in a certain world. But in the context of eternity, I've already said, this time here, it's just one little speck, grain of sand on a beach of eternity. You can be with them soon, if you're in the kingdom of God. If Jesus Christ possesses you, he's dealt with your sin and changed your heart and made you right with God. Are you walking in close fellowship with God like Enoch? Well, let's deal with this subject that suddenly you're here and then suddenly you're not. Which you're not really, actually. I mean, you might think, well, I'm going to live for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you know, whatever it is. We assume that. We don't know that. I don't know any of those teenagers in Manchester thought they were going to have a long and pleasant life. You've only got to go around any graveyard and look at the ages of those there. 1, 10, 20, 30 years old, 40 years old. They were expecting a happy and long life, but then one day said, come, you've heard enough, I will call you to account. When I used to live in London, and I used to commute from Erie, which was on the edge of London, after we moved out from central London, it was like moving to the country as far as I was concerned, after you lived in the castle. No disrespect to you, Randall, but you know, it's like. And I used to commute in from Erie into Charing Cross, which was about a 14-hour journey. And one day, I was on the station platform in Erie, and to the area of the train comes round the bend. And the platforms are stagged like this. I don't know what it is, but they are. And some fools try to, instead of going over the footbridge, they run down the platform, across the track, and up around the platform. And one man saw the train coming round the bend, and he thought it was going to slow down, as it usually does. So he had plenty of time to get across. Only it wasn't the usual slow train, it was the fast train that was late. And the train hit him, right in front of him, and he exploded in umpteen body parts. And there was men and women screaming and heaving, and I was so shaken and traumatized I couldn't go to work for 2 days. That's how bad it was. Goodness knows what it must be like in a war when somebody gets killed and blown out next to you. I mean, I didn't put up with that for 4 years, I never know. It only happened to me once, and I was traumatized. That man would have been shaving and looking in the mirror and singing along and tapping away, you know, I'm going to rule the world, I'm going to rule the world, and it's fine. He didn't expect he was going to be called to account that day, did he? He disappeared. Now, I'm not being dramatic for drama's sake, but what I'm saying is we make too many assumptions, we presume too much. Everybody bangs on these days about I have a right to this and I have a right to that. Actually, we have no rights whatsoever. Because the very air you breathe is granted by God. You woke up this morning breathing air without a brain tumour because God said so. And I'm drinking this water right now. And what do we do? Shake our fists at God, put two fingers up to him. So we don't believe in you. Arrogance. Presumption. The Creator. Your Creator. The reason you exist. The reason you're walking on planet Earth and don't float off into space. Because all the laws of the universe are being kept in precision and uniformity. Because God says so. Said it before and I'll say it again. It's a good job God hasn't got hay fever, otherwise everything will go up in the air. But yet we think we know it. Richard Dawkins certainly does. I pray for him. So should you. He's very intelligent. As far as he goes. And it goes as far as the things of eternity and the things of God. Then there's a cloud, and there's darkness, and an evil, which he and 95% of the rest of Britain and the world, I suppose, share. Okay, so one day Enoch disappeared. The only conclusion we can draw from that bold statement is that God was pleased somehow, we're not given the details, to intervene because Enoch had been in such close fellowship with God, and he enjoyed Enoch's fellowship and company so much, he couldn't stand it anymore. He said, I can't wait for you to die naturally, I want you to be with me now. You're so pleasing to me. God's being selfish, actually. This is a holy selfishness. I mean, Christians, just like, can you imagine pleasing God this much that he can't stand it? He can't wait to see you 85. Okay? And if you're as old as you feel, well, then I'm dead already. Because I'm becoming increasingly depressed. So, fancy walking in close fellowship, aren't I? I was praying just this morning, and suddenly struck my back and I said, oh Lord, I have not walked with you anything like Enoch did. But to walk that close and that intimate, to have that reality and that sensation constantly, that God just wants you to be with it. And it's no big deal. He's not got the long drawn out rigmarole of actually physically dying, of leaving the building, as the soul does. Next minute, he was blessed, but it was only one small step for him because he was already in bliss. He was looking that close to God. He apparently went straight to God in heaven without having to go through all that rigmarole, as I say, of physically dying. Well, just think of this for a moment. I know it's hard, but just try and think for a minute. To actually be with the real Jesus in paradise, in perfection. No more aches and pains, no more screw-ups, no more regrets, no more anxiety, no more stress, with him leading you beside still waters in a state of bliss. Can you imagine? Well, that's where Enoch is now. And if you give your heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're right with him, if you're in the kingdom of God, that's where you're going to be. You're going to see Enoch and you're going to discuss it with him. You're not going to find out exactly from his family what they thought about him disappearing when the washing up had to be done after dinner. And you will be there if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you hand your sin and your soul over to him. If he's changed. Now why did God do this? Well, I've already said, I've given you one reason, because he couldn't stand it anymore. He just longed to have Enoch with him. But I think, actually, I'll give you three other reasons, okay? I think it's here, and it happened, so that millions of others would read about it in the Bible and wonder about it, and wonder what it means to be in close fellowship with God, and it would prompt the question, how can I walk with God like that? How can I be right with God so that I'm always pleasing him, or pleasing him more than I disappoint him, shall we say? Well, of course, never disappoint all his children. How can I please him more than not please him? I believe also it was done this way to show to a half-hearted, unbelieving, ignorant world that God observes the lives of people. It says that in the Bible, whether you believe in God or not, whether you poo-poo it or not, whether you think you're king or not, it tells us in the Bible, I, the Lord, search the hearts and the motives. He knows you inside out. He knows you better than you know yourself. He rummages through the archives of your intellect and your archives of the emotions of your heart, and he knows you. He knows all about you. Question is, do you know him? And does that thought of him rummaging around inside you unnerve you? Or does it delight you? So he's done it this way because he's been in close fellowship, or Enoch's been in close fellowship with God. He sees, he observes, and he wants you to know that he observes your life, your thinking, your emotions. There is nothing about you that is hidden from God. Nothing. You can go and hide in a dungeon, in a darkened cell. He sees you. He hears you. He knows you. He knew you when you set off from home this morning. Why are you here this morning? You thought it was a good idea? Who put the idea in your head? Who puts the motivation in your heart? Your own conviction. You know you're not right with God. You need to come into his presence and sort things out with him. Who put that in your mind? Why has he put that in your mind and heart? And thousands of rounds of healthy ignorance? Why is there only 30 people here this morning instead of the 3,000 down at the mega church, St. Tesco, down the road? Because that's where you'll be if God is speaking to you and opening up your heart and your understanding. That's where you will worship. It doesn't occur to you that there's a problem. You think you're okay. That's what sin does. It darkens the heart and the mind and the intellect. And that's what Richard Dawkins discusses in here. And I believe also that this was done this way to show everyone that although Satan rules over the kingdom of darkness, which has a stranglehold on society on planet Earth today, that's his kingdom of darkness, you can see it all around you. Even nice people are in his kingdom because they think they're okay. That's the effects of the kingdom of darkness. But we've done it this way to show everybody that although Satan, what he claims and what he has and does, actually, ultimately, God is in control. And when it's your turn to appear before him, you will appear before him, and there's nothing Satan, your taskmaster, can do about it. You will appear. And don't assume it's going to be in another 50 years or whatever. Now, right at the beginning of Genesis, we did a very rough ballpark calculation. We reckon this is about 10 generations. Enoch's moved on from Adam and Eve. So you're looking at about 2,000 years, roughly. Give us like 1,000 years. So it's not long, is it? It didn't take long for people to go up the rounds, did it? That didn't take long. You see, the minute you turn their back on God, chaos. The minute we ignore God and his instructions, because he actually knows what's best for us, goodness sake, he's your creator, he knows. He really wants to bless you, but he won't. And you see what happens when you say, Yahoo sucks, God. And disobey what God says, like Adam and Eve did, because they thought it was a good idea to, this was good, listen to Satan. Satan did come this way, and up he goes, and he's doing it all the time, isn't he? Can you laugh at all around? Well, because your first parents sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, as it says in Romans 3, verse 23. These are the facts. If you don't understand, I'm sorry, but here it is. It's in black and white. It's in God's book. I'm just a mouthpiece. Don't shoot the messenger. You see, the problem is, even the sweetest, cutest little baby, the day they're born, they're born with the deadly disease of sin which they inherited from the beginning. Sin is disobedience to God's word. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and his word and decided to go the other way. So that's how sin entered the world, and it's claimed us ever since. The sweetest little baby is born immediately with that in their being. That's why they're going to die one day. The reason you're going to die is because there's sin in the world. The reason everything in the world decays and runs down and gets polluted and all the rest of it is because the planet is cursed by sin. That's why. The effect of sin. That's the effect of sin. And it makes you wonder how we could love it so much if it's that destructive. It's going to kill you. I don't care if you've got an illness or not. You're going to die from it. And as we saw in the case of Manchester, some sooner than they think. Tragically. So sin is killing you. So although in Adam, our first father, we all die, astonishingly, through God's grace and mercy, I don't know why he does it, but he does. Those who are actually found in Christ, the Good Shepherd, those who are one of his sheep, safely in the pen with Jesus, are made alive in their hearts, in their souls. And you today can live forever and know it and have peace and deep down joy and satisfaction because you know and sense and feel God in your heart and life. It's not all up here. You don't just know about God. In here you feel him and you sense him and you know him. That's what being born again is. When Christ enters your heart, he cleans you up. He does heart surgery. You confess all your sins to him. Only he can take it away. Only he can deal with the damage that Adam did right at the beginning and which everyone has inherited ever since. But he takes it away. He deals with it. And you know what? You get his righteousness by faith. It's all by faith now. No rituals, no ticking boxes. It's all by faith. You can't keep this, I can't keep this. God's word, the Bible, God's law. That's why we're all sinners. That's what a sinner is. Someone who can't keep God's law. But Jesus Christ kept it all. He was perfect. And so when you put your faith in him, his righteousness, his obedience is credited to you. So that now, when you turn up before God, whatever that might be, Jesus Christ steps up to the plate and says, my life for this one's on, my blood and my righteousness covers them. They believe in me and hand in their sin and their souls over to me. And God says, welcome, come, blessed. Come, blessed. Jesus means the death of death. Jesus is the solution. Look, Romans 6 verse 23, the wages, the outcome, the inevitability of sin is death. You see it all around you. People are walking around and they think they're just fine. But they're dying. They're dying. And they know it. Because they can't find satisfaction anywhere. They can't find any peace anywhere. They can't find any deep down joy anywhere. People disappoint. They run to the doctor for tablets. They run to the loft license and the pub for booze. They run to internet sites for sex and illicit relationships. They queue up down at the newsagents, much to my irritation, and I'm trying to buy my newspaper, for lottery tickets. I sit there tapping my fingers. Sorry, if I sound cynical, that's because I'm cynical. You see them around you. People are dying and they don't know it. That's the tragedy. Darkness. The tears are taken away from their eyes. Until God draws back the curtain of the hearts and you see and understand and know your desperate need actually isn't whether Britain's inside or outside the EU, isn't whether the FTSE index is up here or down here, isn't whether Trump starts World War III, it isn't any of these things. The most important thing is, are you in a relationship with God? Is he real to you? Does he possess you? Are your sins forgiven? Are you in the kingdom of God? Is Jesus in your heart? Are you right with God and born again, so to speak? These are crucial questions. Come on, a price of oil and unpacked and all the rest of it. I'm not saying these things are unimportant, but actually they are not the most important thing. I wish somebody in the Church of England would stand up and say that instead of giving us political flip-flop, frankly. And I digress. So, God doesn't just observe Enoch. He knows this guy in and out. They're walking in close fellowship. They're arm in arm in companionship. That's what it is to be a Christian. Not somebody who just comes to church and ticks boxes. Not somebody who's just a nice, good person. Yes, it's nice to be nice. It's good to be good. But ticking boxes isn't going to get you to heaven. You'll never be nice enough to impress God to let you into heaven. You'll never be good enough to impress God enough to let you into heaven. You need to be spotless, holy, and pure for God to let you into heaven. And only if you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're covered by his righteousness. You're covered by his obedience and the keeping of God's word. You are covered by his holy blood, which washes away all your sin. Only then are you going to appear before God with confidence. You see, Enoch's end actually wasn't an end. It was a beginning. It had already begun. It was just one step. He was already in the kingdom of God. Are you in the kingdom of God tonight? When you had your heart and soul over to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes up in and takes residence, you are transferred from the kingdom of darkness, which the 95% belong to, and you are transferred into the kingdom of light. Eternity can start tonight. So that when it comes to dying, whenever that is, however that is, it's just a small transition. I'm not playing down, you know, it can be a wrench, but it's just a small transition. You're already in the kingdom of light. When we actually come to die, we're just leaving the building. You know, Fred's left the building. But Fred still is. Fred's now with God. He's in the other dimension. He's in the spiritual realm. He's with Jesus. He's seeing and touching and talking to the real Jesus. He's a completely different person. He's perfect. He's in a state of bliss. So don't worry about being upset about dying, because if you brought him back to life, he'd say to you, what are you going to do that for? I was happy. I was in a state of bliss. What do you want to bring me back to life for? This place is a hellhole. That's the difference. Trouble is, with our dumbed-down brains today, we can't comprehend the eternal, can we? All we see or feel is the here and now. And I suffer with the same problem. I'm not being patronising. See, Enoch's end wasn't an end. It never is an end for the born-again believer. You can be transferred today into the kingdom of light. Eternity can start today for you. Who are you living for? What are you living for? What fills your heart and emotion and desires? Until Jesus becomes everything to you, you will never be happy. You will never be content. And you will have many doubts and anxieties about death, whenever or however it comes. As I say, I'm not belittling that. It's a human reaction. But you can have ultimate peace knowing that actually I'm in Christ's hands. But like the disciples who were crossing the Sea of Galilee when the storm was raging, I know I'm in the boat with Jesus. And I'm not going to drown. I'm going to die, but that's just a physical thing. I'm going to go to be with Jesus. He's right close to me. He's next to me. It's just a small transition. It's just a small transition. So where does the real you go? Where does your soul and spirit go when you leave the building? Forget all the rubbish you've heard about coming back as something else or someone else. Forget all the rubbish you've heard that we're all going to be where the angels are. Forget all the rubbish you've heard that actually we don't have souls and we simply get eaten by worms. Lucky worms. God has made sure it's recorded here in his word. This isn't a collection of stories and things glued together by religious people for our entertainment and to keep us going. Every single word here has been authorised by God, and it's here for a reason in the Bible. This is, what you're holding in your hand is not just a book. It's not just a Bible. This is divine revelation. This is God making his mind known to man. B-I-B-L-E, Bible. Basic instruction before leaving earth. This is what it is. So when you're reading this, it's here because God wants you to know and understand and see and act on it and do something. You really know it. So I urgently plead with you now. Take heed of your soul. Take heed to yourself that you're in fellowship with God. Look, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of God's glorious thing, and the wages of sin is death. I'm not telling you what you don't know, you can see it all around you can see it in your body. Okay? Durban, last week, was smitten by an English virus that had tremendous effects and laid them life. And I sympathise because I've had man flu and I know that is very serious. Right? Women have no understanding of man flu. Now I'm jesting, I understand, but you know it, you're a sinner, you see the effects of it, you felt it in your body, haven't you? Dis-ease. When we're away from God, when we're out of God's company, when we're not following God's rules and instructions for our blessing and our happiness, there is dis-ease. We're not at ease with God, we're not at ease with ourselves, we're not at ease with our environment or our planet, there is dis-ease. Everywhere. All around. But look. Oh, but look. Oh, I've depressed you enough, haven't I? The free gift of God. Romans 6, verse 23. Goodness me, God takes the initiative. He knows you're stupid. He knows you're silly. He knows you're a sinner. He knows you can do nothing for yourself. As I say, he knows you inside out. The problem is we don't even begin to understand the degree to which we are estranged and separated from God by our sin and his holiness. It's like a wall between us. God can't have anything to do with that. He spotted us and cured. But he sent his Saviour to sort it out so that those who put their faith in Jesus can be transformed and changed and forgiven and can then have close fellowship and communion with God and walk with him and know him and talk with him. You will be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to life. The free gift of God is eternal life. Life. There's life for those who would have it. Why would you not have it? Why would you not choose it? Are you content with life as it is? Stumbling from one problem and issue to the next? I'm not saying God's going to remove all those. But do you want God by your side? Do you want to consult with him? Do you want to know his advice and help until you get to heaven to actually be with him? The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other religion. I'm sorry to say this, but it must be true. Christianity is exclusive. Sikhism, Hinduism, Islam, et al. Are counterfeit. They're not approved by God because Jesus Christ is God's solution. Jesus Christ says so himself. John 14 verse 6, he says, and I quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven except through me. So Jesus is even the biggest two-faced liar of all the face of the earth, or is who he says he is? If he's the biggest two-faced liar of all the face of the earth, then I'm frank, I'm wasting my time here, and I will be in bed with a cup of coffee in the Sunday Telegraph. Because frankly, I've got better things to do with my time if this isn't all real. What on earth would I go out on a limb to go against the flow and be unpopular and stick my neck out when I'm just going on with everybody else and then what everybody else has? I mean, who might want to do that? But you see, when you have Jesus, you have a reason to be different because you are different. And you see Jesus for what he is. All loving, all gracious. Yes, Jesus is reaching out to you this morning. He wants to grab hold of you. Do you want to be grabbed by God? Do you want to walk in close fellowship with him? Do you want the real thing? Do you want to be the real deal? Then reach out and grab hold of it. Stop grabbing hold of all other things. Stop grabbing hold of all other people. Stop holding on to everything else. Surrender up your heart. Surrender up your sins. Place your soul in the hand of Jesus, and you will be safe in the boat with him, and he will carry you to eternity, no matter what storms you have to go through. Surrender. Surrender. Whoever believes in me, says Jesus, will be saved. Do you believe everything Jesus says? Will you venture on him? And love your soul to him and your sins? Do you want to be the real deal? Do you want the real God? I hope so. I hope you're not just turning up here for a bit of religion and a bit of entertainment. I don't know, we have a nice coffee and hot lunch, but that's going to be very good when you stand before God, is it? You and me, we will be called by God to appear before him. Are you like Enoch, walking in close fellowship with Jesus? Are you ready for the summons whenever it comes? What's the state of your soul today? Well, let's make ready. Let's do it now. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that in your grace and mercy you've given us Jesus Christ. But don't let us place him. Don't let us just let him buy another son, another service. Lord Jesus, we pour out our hearts to you now. We confess to you, we've sinned and broken your word. We're sinners, we're worthy of nothing but righteous judgments and condemnation. That's what we have a right to. Nothing else. But we thank you, Jesus, that you are prepared to leave all the glory and purity of heaven. We thank you, Jesus, that you are prepared to come down and to fill from the sawdust of planet Earth. You are prepared to take on us all our sin, to pay the price, to make us right with God, a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. And you stay on that cross. You could come down any time. You just showed those people who were mocking and spitting at you, but you didn't. With your power and strength and love, you stayed there for me because you knew if you came down, I'd be done for. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for staying on the cross. I thank you for dying for a sinner like me. I thank you for rising from the dead, conquering death, victory, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I hand my soul, my sin, and my heart over to you now. Take me, make me yours, and transfer me from the kingdom of darkness to life. I want to walk in close fellowship. Would you grant that to be someone, please, tonight? God, be merciful to me, sinner.